The lesson this morning is going to be something that would tie in good with the lesson I had several weeks ago about marriage being a training ground for heaven. In that lesson, I mentioned that when we express appreciation to our spouse, that helps us to express appreciation to God. If we can verbalize to our spouse, we can learn to verbalize appreciation to God. When we give honor and respect to our spouse, it helps us to honor and respect God. When we forgive our spouse, that helps us to appreciate that God has forgiven us of our sins that caused His Son to go to the cross. We also saw that marriage fulfills one of the greatest needs of mankind, to live and be loved faithfully, a husband, a wife, Christ and His bride, Christ and the church. God wants everyone to understand these lessons, and that is part of where children come in. But with this, we're going to focus on forgetting the Lord, because this is another part of marriage that plays a part in the future of God's church. Forgetting the Lord. We're going to start in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God created man and woman. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. Why did God tell man to be fruitful and multiply and to have children? We learn one of the reasons of that in Malachi. Malachi 2:15. Did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. So we see that God wants the man and the woman to have children. More importantly, He wants them to have godly children. I've heard people say, the way things are in the world today, I just don't think it's a good time to have children. Friends, this is the best time to have children, because we need to raise up godly children that are going to stand on God's word to keep the church going. If people just throw up their hands and say, "Woe is me," Satan wins. So children, marriage, that relationship, and again, people look at getting married for different reasons. I won't get into those, but a lot of reasons. They look at having children, and then sometimes they lose the focus on the most important thing of the children. It's not getting them into a good school. It's not getting them a good job. It's teaching them God's word so they do not forget God. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." These are two of our memory verses. And as I keep saying, I want us to go over these a little bit more and more. You may not, as we go through our memory work, you may not have things memorized completely, but it's important we understand where they're located and the gist of what these mean, so we get them in our hearts. These are the verses we're going to focus on. I want to back up and read a little bit more in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll begin at verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land in which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Notice it's just not to us, it's to, as speaking to the men, it's to us men and to our sons and to our grandsons. Verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Drop down to verse 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. And notice what he says here in verse 12. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. See, there's a warning here when you go in to the promised land and you're going to have all of these things. You didn't work for them. You didn't plant the vineyards. You didn't dig out the wells. You didn't put the effort in it. And there's a big warning here. Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of the bondage. And friends, that's a warning for us. We need to beware that we do not forget the Lord. So in the verses that I read, we have a warning of the God of Israel to his people to not forget them. He counts for them the great blessings that they are to enjoy in the land of promise. He reminds them that all of those blessings came from God and they were not the results of their own labors. And you think about what we have today, and we might think, well, look at what I have and I worked for this. And you'll hear people say sometimes, look at what I've worked for and what I got. I worked hard for this. Friends, everything that we have is a gift from God. It doesn't matter what we do. It's God is the one that gives us things. And anybody that knows the history of Israel knows that they forgot God time and time again. Their history was one of bondage and sin. It didn't have to be this way. And you think about the book of Judges and when they went through that cycle and they would turn away from God and they would be oppressed by a people and God would raise up a judge and they would be delivered and there would be a time of peace and then they'd go away from God again. They just kept repeating that again and again and again. And then the people, when God told them to utterly annihilate those seven nations in the land, and they didn't do that. And that sounds pretty harsh to think about killing all of those people, but God had a reason for telling them that. When they didn't do that, what happened? The men started marrying those foreign women. And what did those foreign women do? They led them into idolatry. And God's a jealous God. He's not going to tolerate us worshiping anyone else, anything else. And eventually, when they would not turn, God sent them into captivity. But God gave them a plan how they would not forget him. It was a divine plan. Back in verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you. That's good advice for us, that you and your son and your grandsons and all the days of your life and all the days may be prolonged. When we get to verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Notice verse that he talks about teaching them diligently to your children. You think about that word diligent. That's with all the effort we have, diligently. And I'm reminded of the example back in ancient times when there would be wrestlers and two wrestlers pitted against each other, and each one of them would be exerting all the effort that they had to overtake the other one. That's diligent. That's putting forth some effort. You shall teach them diligently to your children. He didn't say teach them occasionally to your children. He didn't say teach them accidentally to your children. Teach them once in a while to your children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And the tragedy is, and I know we all know this, but it just takes one generation to fall away from God. When one generation is not taught the truth, they are going to fall away from God. We see that in the Old Testament, and a nation rose up that knew not God. We see that in the Old Testament, and that can happen again and again. And you stop and think, though, can you imagine a father not telling his son or daughter about creation and that we were created by God? Can you imagine that? Are there people out there that would not teach their children that? Well, we know it's nothing new. We know it was in the Old Testament. We know it was in the New Testament. When Paul wrote to the Romans, Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And you go on and you read in Romans chapter 1, when God left them to their own devices, they just went deeper and deeper and deeper down. Things got worse and worse and worse. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. They started forming idols, man left the natural use of the woman, and you have talks about man and man and woman and woman and things that God never intended to. How did it get to that point? People stopped talking about God. They forgot the Lord. And the battle goes on every generation, every day. We have a responsibility to teach others, and we have a responsibility to teach our children and our grandchildren. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Our children must be taught the truth. Our children must be taught all the truth. Our children must be taught the truth in a way that they are able to understand it, not just repeat it, not just memorize it and be able to spit it back out like a parrot, but they must understand it, they must live it, be able to teach others also, and they must enjoy doing that. And one of the ways that they are going to enjoy doing that is if they see their parents do that. And so we have a big responsibility, especially as fathers. Teach them diligently to our children. And back to that list from last Sunday night, and I mentioned this morning, you know, another reason why all of these things, all of these deviations came about and are in the brotherhood? Because men stopped teaching their children what the Bible says. Men started listening to other men, and then you have digression. So we have no control over the past. We have no control over the future, but we have a responsibility while we are here, while we are alive. And I say that just because everybody's getting older. We know more and more people with health difficulties. We have loved ones that have passed on. We have a responsibility to stand for the truth so that the generation does not forget the Lord. There's a generation that is growing up that is not hearing all the word of God. And that's a danger. There's a generation that is growing up that does not know they're lost. We'll talk to people about everything under the sun except their soul and their eternity. And have you thought about when this life is over, what's going to be ahead? Before we can save people, we've got to get them to understand that they are lost and that they need the blood of Christ. We've got to get them to understand that there's one faith, one body, one baptism. We've got to understand that this church, the church that Jesus built, is not a denomination. It is the church that he bought with his own blood. We need to teach our children to speak as the oracles of God. We need to teach our children to speak by the authority of God. And if the church fails to do that, and when I say church, I'm talking about, again, us individually, if we fail to do that, we're going to be just like Israel. We're going to be like Israel of old. And friends, we don't want to be like that. So, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. So, when you think about sitting in your house, and you go and visit people's houses, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because they point back to me too. You go in to just about anybody's house. I'll say it this way. When I go in about anybody's house, the first thing I hear is either there's a TV playing or a radio or something going on a computer or all three of those. And we are bombarded with all kinds of information. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. One of the things that you will rarely hear when you go into someone's house is something Bible related. Scriptures being read, music being sung. I'm not saying we have to do that all the time, but we have to take account of what we are doing, how we are spending time. Are we using it productively? And with the TV, there are hundreds of stations. We don't have hundreds of stations, but there's hundreds of stations out there, and it's a matter of choice. There's a lot of bad programming. There's a lot of good programming. But when we sit in our house is going to be that center where the best learning is going to take place with our spouse, with each other, with our children, with our grandchildren. It's a place where we can sit around the table. And that's one of the problems we have in society today. A lot of families don't even eat together. Sometimes which drive-through window do you want to go up to get what we're going to eat? And we keep eating while we're driving, and it's just, there are challenges out there. They're easy to overcome, but we just need to make the time invite people over, invite our family, and we sit around the table and have a meal and talk. And talk about God's word and what's going on and what do you think about this and what do you think about that. But it's sad in a lot of families, the families don't even eat around a table, or if they do, it is rare. Back to the TV and the computer, and this isn't a sermon on those because I watch a lot of both. The question is, what do we watch and listen to the most of? And if I ask most people out there, what's the biggest news story you heard last week? I know one of the top couple is going to be something that happened at the Oscars. They're going to know more about what happened at the Oscars than they are going to know about something in God's Word. And friends, that's a danger. That's like we just see the bus heading for the cliff, and it's going to get to the end of the cliff, and it's going to go down. We got to think about that with our families, with our children. Again, marriage is the training ground for heaven. God wants us to have children. God wants us to have godly children to keep the church strong, to save the generations that are coming. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way. When you walk by the way. So it's not just confined to our immediate family and our children, but if we want to be where we do not forget the Lord, we've got to talk about the Lord when you walk by the way. What's this talking about? This is our neighbors. This is the people that we come in contact with every day. This is the people that we see at the store. We can hand them one of these community Bible study cards. We can hand them a come worship with us card. We can let them know, it's so nice to meet you. I'd like for you to come and visit with us when we worship or when we have Bible study. Do you have any questions about the Bible? We'd be happy to sit down with you and open our Bibles and see what God says about something. You talk to people about things and what's going on, and it's easy to ask a couple questions and ask people what's going on in the world, and then people start bringing up, you know, there's a lot of problems going on in the world. And then you can say something like, you know, you're right. And you know, I think I've got the answers to some of those problems right here. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. But we talk when you walk by the way. Fellow travelers, as we are going through this world, we should talk more to each other about God's word than when we are just confined to these walls with each other. This is very important, but it needs to not be limited to just this. In Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So we are commanded, we are encouraged, we are exhorted to assemble together, come together, don't forsake the assembly. But when we come together, what do? Stir up love and good works. And that gets us excited. I appreciate so much Wednesday evening services, just coming together, and it's a cliche, but we get our batteries recharged. We get our batteries recharged being together. But we got to bring some juice to the table to recharge somebody's battery. We got to have something in us to charge somebody else up. And when we all come together that way, we are going to raise everybody up. And most importantly, we're going to glorify God, because that's what He wants. He wants us to learn how to thank Him, how to appreciate Him, how to forgive others, how to raise godly children, how to take this message and to share it with others. Friends, we are our brother's keeper. The Lord may be forgotten because we forget to talk to the weak ones around us. We have weak members, we have strong members, we have people in between. We need to talk to everybody. Well, you shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. Friends, we are to live by the Word of God all the time, night and day. We need to remember that the day we just spent came from God, and the day that He will give us to live tomorrow, He'll give us the strength to live it. And we cannot forget God. Our days come from God. We forget God, what's going to happen? We're going to be like the Israelites that went back into bondage. We forget God, we're going to be like the Israelites and go back into the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin. It's important that we teach our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And of course, if they disobeyed their parents, they would have been stoned to death and their life would have been cut short. But the principle is there. You listen to your parents when they're teaching you God's Word, and those principles that you're going to learn from God's Word are going to carry on with you throughout life. Something else that they were to remember was the Sabbath day. And in Leviticus 19:3, both of these thoughts are ran together. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So it was a two-way street. The parents' responsibility to the children, the children's responsibility to their parents. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. And friends, if a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, are not willing to work together to nurture their children, to bring them up in the Lord, they shouldn't have children. They shouldn't have children because, again, God desires godly children. Sometimes you'll see parents complain about their children, and we can control our children to a certain extent, but sometimes I just look at parents and they talk about how rotten their children are and this and that, and I just want to say, who raised your children? Because they don't want to accept the responsibility of their lack of following God's Word with their children. They want to play the victim card. Deuteronomy 6:7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And friend, what happens when we do not do that? Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I pray that none of us forget the Lord, I pray that we encourage our children, our grandchildren, those that walk by the way, because we are only one generation from terrible things happening when many souls would be lost because we did not do our job. Friends, I hope nobody here has forgotten the Lord. I hope you know Him. I hope you are obeying Him. If you need to obey Him to get in the Lord, to confess Him, confess Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins and be baptized, or if you're having problems in your life, if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.